Hey everyone, I am the Chosen One Legend here, as always with my co-host.
Hi, I'm Kai, also known as Vascarine.
And once again with our behind the scenes guy, Sam. Say hi to the people, Sam.
I'm back to disappoint.
Yay.
And welcome back to... speaking of disappoint, welcome back to the Bunch of Jokers Game Awards, which is only mildly less disappointing than the actual Game Awards. So we've got that going
it's
for us.
It's an improvement.
Exactly, step up. But as you saw in the last video, we went through five different categories for our game awards, and we are going through the next five in this one. So if you missed out part one, do check that out on our channel. But we've got some interesting picks here for the next five, so let's get started on things. And the first category is Best Narrative. And you know what, Sam, why don't you start us off with this one?
Oh, I'm starting? Okay, I thought we were talking
about... You are now.
But okay. Alrighty, best narrative for the year. Honestly, I did struggle picking a bit, and I did want to make Kai and Matt's life a little easier, so we don't overlap. But I've chosen, again, Paper Mario the Origami King.
Mm.
Mainly because of its dialogue.
Yeah.
Alright, yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
I have to admit, the dialogue in that game was amazing. The one that stood out to me the most was when you beat the second boss in the first area. Yes. I won't spoil and say which one, even though I could really say, but yeah. It's stationary. So yeah. It says that right before it dies that Mario was better when it was a side scroller. And I remember watching that thing explode and just staring at my screen like, what the hell just happened? Did it Nintendo actually approved this game to be released?
Oh, man.
Another one
that... I
have
heard that to be a good thing there, though. Like, that, yeah. That witty narrative, yeah.
Oh, and another one that I saw, which I didn't get to see because it's an optional piece of dialogue, but Folded Bowser talking about the developers not programming the entire castle in and that a door was locked. And he yells at the developers to patch the rest of the castle in.
That's great.
The Paper Mario games, or at least definitely the recent ones, have been known for at least their good wit. I know Color Splash had quite a lot of that as well. There's like the jokes of the Toad being locked in prison saying, well, they can't do any more to us in the game that's rated this young. So there's there's all sorts of good humour there. That definitely seems like a great pick. I guess my...
love a good 4-4 break.
Absolutely. All the way. I guess my pick here, though, for best narrative is going a little bit more traditional. I've gone with Age of Calamity. Now, you know, I didn't play many narrative-driven games, and Breath of the Wild itself wasn't very narrative-heavy, and I wouldn't say Age of Calamity is either, but it definitely goes more in with more cutscenes, and what the narrative really does well is fleshing out the characters and the universe of Hyrule, you know. It really gives those characters more time to shine, and like you said, with the writing of Paper Mario Origami King, whilst there wasn't the fourth wall breaking humour in Age of Calamity, it really did get well, the banter between characters, the camaraderie between them, and all of that to just give this era more time in the sun, which it needed. So, you know, it may not be the biggest narrative, but I think it served its purpose really well.
Yeah, that was that was actually my pick too, I won't lie.
Right?
Yeah, it's it was just after much deliberation. Yeah, I just think more than anything, it was just very satisfying to see, like, you know, all the champions 100 years prior, because that's something I feel like we all wanted to see in some form as part of Breath of the Wild DLC. Like, we just wanted to see them in action.
Mm.
So the fact that we've now finally been able to see them, you know, interact with each other and that sort of thing, it's been really good to see.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, like Kai was saying, getting to see them interact with each other, we did briefly see a little of how they all interact with Link, but we never really got to see how Ebosa talked to Daruk, or maybe Mipha talking to Revali a lot. And I really enjoyed seeing these characters and their relationships with each other filled out. And seeing new characters as well, like Impa and her role, even though she wasn't a big influence on Breath of the Wild, she was there, and we all sort of wondered where she was in the past. And yeah, I do feel like best narrative. Yeah. It wasn't the only narrative game that you guys had played this year, I probably would have picked it as well.
There's also Young Robbie. Don't forget Young Robbie.
Oh, yes, Young Robbie. Oh, of course. We can't forget Young Robbie.
And I should mention, I think Kai and I both haven't even beaten the game, so there's more room for the narrative yet to continue.
It's keeping me guessing, you know? It's keeping me guessing on what's going to happen.
I keep expecting it to go one way, and it goes another way. But then I think it's going back to the other way, and it's interesting.
It's going insane, like, basically.
Yeah. You definitely have an entertaining time.
A few times. Kai's been up to me a few times now where he addresses a concern or says something that is spot on, and I'm sitting there like, yeah, that'd suck, or be like, yeah, that's great, and trying not to spoil it.
Oh, man. But you know what, let's just move things on to our next category, which is best art direction. And I'm going to start this one off for you guys with Xenoblade Definitive Edition and Future Connected, because let's be real here. The original Xenoblade Chronicles, whilst it never bothered me, it was not great looking, particularly the character models. Those faces are terrifying and nightmare fuel. So what they did with Xenoblade Definitive Edition was they went a bit more with the anime style of Xenoblade 2 to give it that characterization and more expressiveness. But they didn't go all in. They still kept more of the original's identity without making it look like how Shulk looked in the DLC for Xenoblade 2, for example. And they really got that striking balance, and not just on the characters, but the entire look of the world, how bits that were a bit murky in the original, especially for me playing on the 3DS, you can suddenly see things in the distance that really are clear to you now on the Switch's higher resolution compared to a DS, 3DS. So the art style was a fantastic idea that brought this game to life even more.
Yeah, I can agree with you there. Like, with how good the original Xenoblade was at, like, everything else, I will admit it could have, had a bit of improvement in the graphics department. So I'm glad that that was sort of one of the main withdrawals that people got from the Definitive Edition, that, you know, that was actually put to justice for once.
Yeah. Oh, but Kai, would you like to go on to your pick then? Because I'm surprised you didn't pick Xenoblade, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't my pick, because there was another game that I feel like impressed me even more, and that was the Final Fantasy VII Remake. Right. Just the visuals in that game, like, they're stunning. Like, straight up, they are so impressive to me. I really like the choreography in a lot of the scenes and that sort of thing. The character designs, like, they've been done really well. The whole world as well, like, the lighting in particular that they put in a lot of it, and just, like, sort of more of the minor details. I think the across the board, really, the Final Fantasy VII Remake has done a really good job of improving its graphics, and, like, it's one of the best-looking games I've ever seen, straight up.
Talk about an upgrade from the original on the PS1.
for sure.
No more blocky clouds. You'll get to see more of it this year.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, yeah. Sephiroth boy, he's even got a shirtless alt, so.
Let's go.
Does he?
Yeah, he does. He's up there with Shulk now.
Now it's Shulk time.
But before you get distracted thinking about shirtless Sephiroth, what's your pick, Sam?
He's already distracted.
Wow, thanks. Well, my pick for best art direction is a game I've not actually had the chance to play yet, but it is on my two playlist, and I honestly cannot wait to get the chance to play it. It's Phoenix Immortals Rising. Immortals Phoenix Rising. Cool. I honestly can't remember now. But the art direction in that game, it's similar to Breath of the Wild, but closer to Xenoblade in that it's got that cartoony look of Breath of the Wild, but it's a little more colourful and sort of, I would say, mythical.
Yeah, the world is very vibrant. I was going to say. Very mythical.
Yeah. The enemies that you see, like, in the trailers and whatnot, they're so lifelike. They're really well animated. And just the overall environment you see, I hate to say this, but it almost reminds me of Fortnite with that very bright, colourful...
The character models, yeah, and that.
I can definitely see the resemblance on, like, cliff sides and that sort of thing from the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Done better.
So Sam likes Fortnite, confirmed.
But yeah, overall, I think it's pretty solid, and honestly, if Xenoblade just had that little more of a refined look, I feel like it does flip between too serious and then too anime in some points. I probably still would have put Immortals Rising over Xenoblade for this one.
Fair enough. Yeah. You wanted to see Shulk eat the sandwich. That's it, isn't it?
No, of course. I would never commit such a sin.
And you know, we didn't mention Age of Calamity, but I do want to quickly mention how well they did at making that game look like Breath of the Wild, so I just want to quickly shout that out. Oh, that was impressive too. The cutscenes
are great, yeah.
Yeah, they are. But before we ramble on that, because we could be here 40 minutes, the next category is best game that didn't come out in 2020. So, you know, sometimes you have a backlog. That you've got a game played. That we played. Any game we played that didn't come out in 2020, but we got to play in 2020 for the first time. And you know what? I think it's Kai. It's your turn to start us off.
Now, this is going to be somewhat of a strange pick, but I ended up going up with RPG Maker MV. Now, I'm gonna be honest, it's hardly even a game. So if you want to say game, then say it is the Freezer Crowd one. But I'm talking about RPG Maker itself here. And yeah, this was a very personal pick just because I got to try it out for the first time this year with an interest in game development. And it was a really great one to try out. I really enjoyed sort of learning how all of it worked, how the program as a whole functioned, and being able to like insert everything into it. And just kind of the endless possibilities on it as well. Like it's a really useful thing for me to use, and it's as enjoyable as any other game in my view. Like just being able to build up your own sort of world and creations and story. So
I think you put enough hours into it that you kind of have to put it at this point. It's
I think I've surpassed over 350 hours at this point in it within not too long.
Am I right in saying that's more than Xenoblade?
Yes, actually. Xenoblade Definitive Edition. It's more than that. Not Xenoblade 1 as a whole, though. I've put a lot of time into that it. Now? Xenoblade 1, if you include both the original and Definitive Edition, I think I've got somewhere around 500 or 600 hours.
Nice.
But anyway, yeah, for this one, though, RPG Maker just... It was a very good one to try out this year, and I'm going to keep using it in years to come because it's a very useful... program that I would definitely recommend to anyone who has even a little bit of interest in game development.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see, you know, what you make next. But so Sam, then, what was your pick for this?
Well, I didn't play anything from outside of 2020 for the first time this year.
Fair enough.
But I have picked the game that I revisited after playing it for the first time in 2019 when it was released, and that is Astral Chain.
Oh, it's great pick.
It's phenomenal. The story, it's not what I was expecting to begin with. Like, it seemed pretty straightforward, and then you reach the final three chapters and everything changes. I can't say too much because I will spoil it, but the graphics pushes the Switch as far as it can go. It does have a few points where it will lag a little bit, but the world that it creates, the town, the characters, and knowing that there is more of this story coming, especially with the ending and the little bonus chapter at the end, it ticked a lot of boxes for me. It felt great. I would have picked it for best art style if it came out this year, but obviously it didn't.
I mean, and yeah, Astral Chain
it's phenomenal.
It really is. I mean, that was my pick for Game of the Year last year from what I played. And, I mean, you've mentioned the music. Like, it's so good. The Jenna theme in particular just slaps. It's it is fantastic. Yeah. I'm edging for that sequel. And also, maybe
Listen to Dark Smash. Hero if you haven't.
Oh, yes. Dark Hero. Absolutely. Kai, play it.
I'll get around to it at some point.
Oh, yeah, great pick there. For my pick, I had a few I wanted to go through. I played a lot of games for the first time this year, including Dragon Quest XI and A Short Hike, which were both really close up there. I really wanted to pick those, but in the end, I had to go with Fire Emblem Three Houses because it was just really, really fun. It was the first Fire Emblem game I've properly played. I played a bit of Sacred Stones on the 3DS Ambassador Program, but it didn't really click with me at all. But no, I'd heard so many people raving about Three Houses that at this point I sort of had to check it out. It seemed a bit more accessible. And I just, you know, fell in love with it. The cast, Golden Deer all the way, I should mention.
Yes, Fear the Deer.
Fear the Deer. Wait, which house did you pick, Sam?
Well, I'm insulted that you thought I would pick anything other than the Golden Deer.
That's
it, yes!
Bunch of jokers are members of the Golden Deer.
We are united in this, but there's such a great cast of characters there, and seeing them develop. And I didn't even get to know the others. I haven't played the other runs yet. And I just bought the DLC, which was on sale. Haven't got to play it yet, but I'm just, you know, I really loved it. The gameplay was interesting. It was that perfect mix of strategy and randomness where you have to adapt whenever something bad happens or something unexpected happens. I have a particular fond memory of one of my favourite moments in gaming this year in general, which was when I was on a specific map where you sort of fight towards the middle and then the middle gets set on fire and
oh yeah. Oh,
I started panicking, but it was such a great moment and the atmosphere of the I mean, it tells a really good story as well, bringing these characters together. And I feel like I'm rambling at this point, but yeah, it was just a great experience for me, and it's made me want to try out more Fire Emblem, which that's a good point in my book.
Yeah, Three Houses is a very strong game. You know, it's crazy how many characters they were able to flesh out with all the interactions between each other. In particular, I feel like the world building in terms of political affairs was very strong because, of course, it builds up throughout the game, and I feel like that was definitely a strong feature. And yeah, it seemed like it was a very sort of UI-friendly Fire Emblem game as well. Like, it was a very accessible one, like you said.
I was very nervous going into it of the raising your students mechanic and teaching them skills. I thought that would be...
Yeah.
I'm usually really bad at those kind of mechanics, so I thought that was going to go over my head. But I didn't even set it automatic. I went with it, and it was explained perfectly so that I understood what I was doing. And, of course, we've all got to say the best feature, tea time, of course. So, I do like the tea time music. I'll give it that.
I was going to say, the music as a whole was very good.
I mean, I have to say amazing. I love it just for Gabe. If I didn't, he'd kill me. And that's saying a lot for Gabe.
Oh, man. But yeah, the music, just the main battle theme alone. But then you get into the final boss themes, and
Amazing. Yeah, those are great.
Yeah. It definitely helped. I mean, in fact, it was watching you stream one that sort of convinced me, Kai. And then hearing the music from Byleth in Smash as well. I don't care what people say, I liked Byleth in Smash, and the music is a large reason why, so...
Yeah, straight up.
But yeah, that's all our picks for that category. So the next one for us is Best Multiplayer Experience. And, you know, I do wonder if we might have gone with the same one here. But Sam, what have you picked?
Honestly?
Oh.
I didn't personally get to... Can you hear me?
Yeah, I
can hear you.
Yeah, okay. I got scared the internet died.
Not yet.
Not yet. Personally, I didn't really play any multiplayer games this year outside of Among Us.
Oh, yeah.
But...
Mm-hmm.
I sort of had to pick something from this year, and I've ended up going with a game that I only just discovered, and I've actually played a little bit with a friend, which Matt did show me this game, but it's actually Fogs.
Oh, really?
The game that we were joking about playing.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of fun.
I was not joking. I thought it looked good.
Yeah. It's a game that I didn't expect to enjoy, nor is it a game I ever thought I would play. But my friend, we were talking one day, and he was over, and then we started playing it. And we just had a ball. Each different environment was phenomenal. The bright colours, I know it's probably directed at children a little more, and that's probably what made it good for me. But I can't say too much about it, because I still haven't played a lot of it yet. But I really enjoyed it, and it's the only multiplayer game I played this year.
Well, I mean, but first off...
Quick question. Did you forget that Animal Crossing has online multiplayer?
Yes, but you'll see why I didn't pick Animal Crossing soon.
Okay.
Fair enough. Question is, Sam, how dare you have friends outside of us? I mean, that's just not allowed. But other than that...
I'm sorry, Matt, but I've been cheating on you for a very long time.
That's it, you're fired. No Kit Kats. But yeah, I'm glad you ended up playing the game.
And the captain. Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I was serious when I thought maybe one day Kai and I could play a full video here. I don't know if that will happen, but the fact that you enjoying it,
I still personally don't own it, but yeah.
Yeah, that is selling me even more, because it just looked like dumb fun, and it's the kind of game where if you play it with someone else, you're gonna be trying to coordinate. Any game where multiple people have to coordinate is going to be funny, so.
True.
I.e. why I liked Snipper Clips.
Yes, I only played a demo of that, but that was fun. But I guess my pick, going off what Kai said, it's Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing New Horizons. Because, I mean, really, it is the multiplayer game that defined 2020, and whilst I haven't... besides maybe Among Us, you could argue, but whilst I haven't stuck with it to the extent of a lot of people have, I just, from that first 2 months alone, I have so many fond memories of going to other people's islands and just goofing around, hunting for sharks or whatever. It's far from the perfect multiplayer experience, you know, there's how long it takes to fly towards an island and set that up. I mean, I guess it's realistic to real flights, but, you know, it sucks. So, but
not
when
in
you
the
get
coronavirus
there,
pandemic.
That is true. But yeah, I mean, with that actually, the fact it allowed people to meet up in that capacity in a way when they couldn't leave their houses, that alone is great. And just from the dumb things, even though you can't do much when you meet up with people, the other day I was in a shop on Sophie's Island, I think, with Jose, and he just went out from the shop wearing this like mask over him and this like dark jumper, and then I bought the exact same thing We walked out and both in sync just got our axes and started chasing people around the island without a word to each other. There's the fact we started a cult. We made a cult of clapping people in Animal Crossing
Multiplayer. The
brother cult. That's yeah. Animal Crossing.
It's just so dumb, but even though there's not much to it, I think it almost works in its favour that it makes you be creative with how you interact. And I just have so many fond memories of this year messing around with you guys. I'm playing hide and seek where I disguised myself as egg furniture and tricked Kai. You know, there's there's so many moments, so I had to pick it. I really did.
The tree standees. Oh, yeah. My God.
For those who don't know, because Kai hated us hiding behind trees, I put loads of tree standees around my island. I gave some to villagers and they've put them in their houses now, so that's a thing that happened.
But, oh, no.
But what did you pick, Kai, then?
Well, you know, if the Game Awards can pick it, then so can I. I went for Among Us. Now,
yes.
Although I feel like Animal Crossing really did sort of take over the multiplayer scene for like the first half of 2020, Among Us has absolutely dominated. And I'm going to count it here as an option because Game Awards did too.
That's fair. It really thrived in this year. It's basically this year's game in that regard.
Essentially, yeah. But yeah, it's a really fun game. I've always enjoyed sort of social deduction games, Town of Salem, Werewolf, all of those types of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always enjoyed sort of series like Phoenix Wright, Danganronpa, like I've enjoyed those too. So having this like multiplayer experience of being able to solve these murder mysteries is it's so much fun. Like, you know, all the like different mind games you play, the mini game, like the little micro games that you play during it are fun as a crewmate.
Well, most
all
of
the different like tactics, most of them. Simon says
doesn't. In that one.
Nodes, yeah, true. But overall, like, the game's very simplistic in a lot of ways, but it's cool how, despite how simplistic it may seem, there's so many different strategies that have developed from it that people use, and or just all these different things that have come out of the game, and the replayability of it is really impressive. So I'm really looking forward to continue playing it, and yeah, it's been a really good time.
I'm not gonna lie, Kai, that's kind of sus. Sam, do you think you should vote him off?
God damn it.
Well, I think it's kind of sus that he didn't pick Jackbox.
I guess one of them came out this year. Did one?
Yeah, Jackbox 6 came out in 2019. Jackbox Party Pack 7 came out this year, which I didn't really like.
Fair enough.
Okay, that's fair.
Not quite the same without the rap verse city, so...
yeah, no.
But yeah, that's definitely a great pick. I've had so much fun time playing with you guys, even if it's stressful, but that's in a good way, the best way possible. and there have been some hilarious moments, and it's great that we've been able to capture it on stream as well through our friend Beemore Duck streaming it, which has been really cool, and yeah. Sam as well, when Sam Twitches streamed it sometimes. So it's definitely been a great year for multiplayer, really. Yeah.
Not to mention the time you got imposter 5 times in a row and Teal was getting very upset with that.
Yeah.
And also a few others. I think everyone was upset with that.
There's a lot of memories of it.
Yeah. It's definitely been an interesting game. And it'll be interesting to see it develop with more maps. So I know there's one coming, yep. So that'll be cool.
Yes. There was one announced a little bit ago coming out next year.
Yeah, so that's going to be exciting. But that brings us on to our final category here for this video, which is, we're going for a bit of a downer here, most disappointing release. So that doesn't have to be a bad release per se, but something that let you down a little bit. And for me, I'm going to start things off with Mario 3D All-Stars. And you know, the thing is, I enjoyed 3D All-Stars. I really liked Galaxy. And I enjoyed 64 more than I ever had before. They were good ports.
Oh boy.
They enhanced it. But, you know, they didn't do much to change it. I wish they could have done more, particularly with 64, to maybe, you know, redo the visual style or something. When you look at something like the Crash Bandicoot remakes, which is 3-in-1 package, all completely visually remastered. But then there's Sunshine. And I've already ranted enough, so I'm not going to say it anymore, but that game kind of sucks, so...
Just watermelons and lily pads, eh?
Watermelons and lily pads all the way. You know, it's yes, fun to be had, but you started me now, Kai, damn it. But it's just not a good Mario game, I think. It's got good moments in it, but it's so unpolished for an officially released Mario game that really let me down, because I thought I might like it more than I did. But in general, I had a fun time with it. I just wish they'd gone a bit more all-in for remasters and fixed some more things. But it was still fun. But, yeah.
I do agree with that, but also there's a lot of glitches and exploits within Sunshine and 64 specifically that a lot of people really enjoy. Like, I know there's one in Sunshine that rockets you probably about 100 meters into the air.
Yeah.
And you can go anywhere with that. And a lot of people really enjoy that one.
And yeah. I mean,
honestly, I would have liked if in Galaxy specifically, where if you get all the mini stars, the normal power star spawns right above you instead of having to make your way across the other side of the map. Oh well.
Yes, I get like some of the glitches. In fact, I used one of the glitches to beat the lily pad level, or to get to it at least. But just some quality of life things, like making the blue coins easier to track, or that kind of thing, would have been nice.
I do sympathise with you there. I feel like, there's certain additions that they just could have made to make the game more fun.
Yeah.
You know, just things like, for example, Mario 64 DS. Like, they didn't add in any of the features from the DS version, like the other characters or new stars or new maps. They didn't do any, like, changes in graphics, which is whatever, I suppose.
Also,
Sunshine
Galaxy
was very
2.
Frustrating. No Galaxy 2 either. Yeah, like, overall, it was...
that's true,
I feel like it was a fun collection, but there was a lot missing there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. It just is a little disappointing. But going on to that, Kai, what did you pick for your most disappointing release?
Well, this one hits kind of close to home.
I think I know where this is going.
With, Pikmin 3 Deluxe.
Mm.
Now, I love Pikmin 3, the original one on the Wii U. I've played it through many, many times. I've really enjoyed playing it, and it's a great time. So when I saw it was on the Switch, I was like, that's amazing. And they go, oh yeah, there's a new story with Olimar and Louis. I was like, that's even better. And then there's all these other features, and I'm like, this is so good. And then we sort of get to know more about it, and I'm like, well, this kind of sucks, huh? One of the main appeals on the Wii U for me was the control scheme of being able to use the gamepad. You know, once the gamepad was actually really appreciated.
Yeah.
And they just, you don't have that option on the Switch. You can't use a gamepad at the same time as the TV or anything. You don't have the touch controls. And although there are other methods that work just as well, I really miss the control scheme from the Wii U. In addition to that, there's a couple extra features they added which were kind of quality of life, but at the same time, Pikmin 3 is quite an easy game, and they made it even easier with a lot of these changes, which I'm not a huge fan of personally.
Yeah.
And then finally, the Olimar and Louis whole, like, the bonus story they have is terrible. It's literally just, like, keep in mind, the game already has 15 time attack stages and 15, like, battle enemy stages.
Yeah.
This just added 5 more of a mix of those, and that's it. Like, it was nothing. It was a really sort of naff bonus that they added, so...
It kind of
reminds
me
overall,
of...
Yeah.
Like, one that I nearly picked but didn't was the Battle for Bikini Bottom remaster, where in some ways it's a good remaster, but in some ways, the original has better qualities, and they could have gone further. And I'm guessing it's a similar thing with Pikmin 3, really.
Yeah, I just feel like the main problem for me isn't even like the fact they didn't add much in. It's more so just sort of that they took out a lot of my favourite parts of the game. Yeah, like they took out some of my favourite parts of it, and then didn't really add much in to compensate. So I was quite disappointed with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And no online
still buy
co-op.
Pikmin 3, just do it on the Wii U. Just get Pikmin 3 on the Wii U.
yeah, I can see what you mean there. But Sam, what have you picked then for your most disappointing release?
I'm about to upset a lot of people with this. And
go for it.
Kai, this explains what you said earlier.
Oh, okay.
But honestly, right. My disappointing release of the year was Animal Crossing.
Pure go on, comments.
The hordes are coming.
Roast him.
Thank God I do not live with you two.
Nook is coming for you now. Here comes the debt.
Overall, I was satisfied with the game. I did have a lot of enjoyable moments when it first came out. It was missing a lot of quality life things. Like, I would have loved just to have seen a gauge on where my tools were when it came to sort of like durability and just a little more things like, well, what was another big one for me? I haven't played in a long while.
I mean, I think that probably speaks to the problem partly.
Yeah. Another thing was the inventory system. I would have liked to have more space to do more with it. And I also did feel the islands were actually a little small, especially since, this is my next point, since they were patching in content, which we could see in the data mines, and they would say, oh, the cafe's coming soon, and you'd designate a spot for that, or you'd put something else somewhere. And then, before you know it, you have no space left on your island. And as a studying architect, that's kind of annoying.
Yeah, I can get that. It definitely lacks some polish in a lot of areas. Really, it does come down to quality of life things.
And the patching, well, the most recent patches have particularly annoyed me as an Australian, because it has been the winter update and the fall update.
Southern Hemisphere gang, where are you?
We are in the middle of a heat wave at the moment in Australia. It is not
heat
snowing.
Wave of snow?
And I do not appreciate the taunting that this marketing is trying to do to me.
I can definitely sympathise with you on it, though. Like, I played New Leaf, and I liked that, but I also got bored of it. But, you know, even that, there were, like, multiplayer games you could actually, like, play in the game, and, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like there was very little to actually interact with in New Horizons, and it's what stopped me playing it after a while, is that, you know, you have all your stuff at the beginning, where you've got your house, and, you know, you're building everything up for the first time, but once you've done that, a lot of the time it doesn't feel like there's much to actually physically do in the game, so I do feel like I know where you're coming from.
Especially as someone myself who doesn't renovate the island. Yeah.
After I reached 3 stars and I unlocked the terrain tools, I made some small changes to the island. I made my 2 residential areas, and then by that point, I started to run out of island space, and I was getting quite frustrated, if anything, and I will admit, this did lead me to start time traveling.
Blasphemic!
Cheat.
Which I felt really bad doing, and I know the community doesn't exactly like that.
Nah, I get it.
It just made me feel even more ashamed, but
I mean, the game works against you in some ways, so you can't blame people.
It's been like 9 months since it released.
So. Yeah.
The highlight of the game, though, for me, I will admit, was, well, it was 3 a.m. for me, it was like late afternoon for you guys, was the midnight fishing trips.
Yes.
Where everyone would want to come to my island, because I was the only one in the Southern Hemisphere to catch the sharks when it first launched. And everyone would be catching sharks, and I was catching none of them. And
oh, and then the internet would crash, and then everyone would lose the stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's true. That was annoying.
Yeah. Oh.
The multiplayer, I didn't even get into that. I didn't even want to talk about it. That needs a lot of refinement as well.
Yeah, it's small things often, but they add up when you're playing it for a while, for sure. So I don't blame you.
Yeah.
But that's probably I think, where we call it for this video. That's all of our categories gone through. But it's not the complete end. We do have, of course, Game of the Year itself, which, as well as maybe a few extra things, will be in its own video next week. So do stay tuned to that. But yeah, big thank you to both of you, Sam and Kai, for talking through this with me. Been a lot of fun.
No problem. Been good.
And of course, we will mention that there is a Google Forums in the link in the description below where you can sort of vote on what the picks that we made, what you would go for your own audience pick. And we will be going through that in the Game of the Year discussion, the results. So do feel free to give your thoughts on there and to roast Sam for picking Animal Crossing in the comments. I'm talking about you, Sophie. Go for him. Get that trowel out and just, you know. But
Sophie, remember who would chase you with the axes?
Let's wrap this up.
Let's end it, yeah. Been great fun. But thank you all so much for watching. And, you know, you can check out the next video and the rest of our videos here on Bunch of Jokers, as well as on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all those places under the same name. So please feel free to stay tuned for whatever comes next, including Game of the Year. But we'll see you guys then. Goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.
Pog. All done.